It is a great honor to be here with everyone. Everyone's so nice speaking with me. I got to speak with Brother Always Right. He introduced himself as over there. He is, the longest member. I'm probably saying that wrong. How do we word that? Longest stay. He's been here longer than anyone, right? But that's pretty cool. And hear the history of the church and what God's brought it through and all the different things. And it was excited to be with Pastor and everyone. I wish my family was here. My wife would be here. She's never really not been at a meeting with me. But driving from Georgia to New Hampshire, 38 weeks pregnant, maybe not the best idea. So her mom and grandma came down to spend time with her and help her out, and she's getting the rest that she needs to get ready for the big day. You got me so excited. Listen to that testimony. I'll tell you what, I am looking forward to seeing my little girl. Can't wait for that. If she's as good as Oliver, we'll be in a good shape, because he's a perfect baby. Not true. But either way, he is the cutest baby in the history of the world. And I credit that to looking like me, okay? The laughters say you don't agree. But if you have your Bibles open to Deuteronomy chapter number 7, if you would, we'll start reading in verse number 18. The Bible says, we'll start reading verse number 16. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Verse number 18, thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and to all of Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send a hornet among them until they are left and hid themselves from thee, be destroyed. Verse 21, once again, thou shalt not be affrighted at them. For the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. The Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee, little by little. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this evening. Lord, thank you for bringing everyone in here safely. And thank you for your blessings in our lives. And thank you for the testimonies that were given, praising you. And Lord, of course, we hope there'll be many Indians who'll be able to do that one day, give testimonies and praise you for how good of a God you are. Lord, we pray you be with this service. I pray you be with me as I preach. Be with everyone as we listen. I pray that tonight, Lord, you speak to us through your word. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Deuteronomy, I don't know if anybody would agree with me on this one. When I was growing up, you read through the Bible, Deuteronomy is one of those books where you're like, we're almost to the finish line of the law, right? We're finally going to move on. Right next is Joshua, I hope I'm right. When you get behind the pulpit, you always mess up on things like that. And then you get all the stories, all the action, and it gets really exciting. But Deuteronomy is typically one of those, like, all right, let's just persevere. Let's get through this, right? But when I moved to Georgia, our pastor, he was preaching out of Deuteronomy. And for the first time in my life, I started seeing that Deuteronomy has truths that apply to my life. And then I was in India, and I made it a goal, which I did not accomplish with. I almost did. I wanted to finish the Bible completely through one time for the 6 months I was there. And as I was reading through Deuteronomy, God was just opening up a lot of different truths to me. And I got to this passage, and God really began to speak to me on the subject of fear. Because in verse number 16, God gives the children of Israel their job to do one more time. He does this several times. Their job is to go into the promised land, take out all the false gods, all the believers in the false gods, get rid of all of that influence and claim the promised land for their home. And they're supposed to only serve the one true God in that place. As we know, they don't fulfill that job completely. And just like it says in verse number 16, it was a snare unto them. It was a trap. But you see, they were given this job to do, and God tells them their job. And then verse number 17, he kind of plays that arguing side with them, because he knows what's going to happen. He says, you know, if you're going to say this in your heart, these nations are so much stronger than I. They're so much better than us. They have so much more, better. They have so much better equipment than us. That they're so much more prepared than us. How in the world can we kick them out? How can we dispossess them? See, I think God knew that the children of Israel were going to cross over, the Jordan, I'm saying Jericho River, Lord help me tonight. The Jordan River there, and the first thing they're going to come up to is the walls of Jericho, and they're going to stand up, and they're going to look at the walls of Jericho, and they're going to say, how in the world are we going to tear these walls down? God, they did have quite a big army. I didn't realize this until a few days ago. I was reading through Numbers. I mean, they had almost 800,000, army people, or like soldiers. I mean, they had a pretty... So I'm thinking, like, after reading that, I was like, do we just stack up like 40 high and just start climbing on top of it? I mean, what's the plan here, right? They're going to look at it like, how in the world are we going to win this battle? You see, these thoughts that come into their head, I think, are similar thoughts that come into our minds. See, God's given us a purpose just like He gave the children of Israel a purpose. God called the children of Israel out of Egypt. He said, this is your job, this is your purpose, I want you to do it. And I think once God saves us, He gives us a purpose, a reason. And oftentimes He doesn't just give us one purpose. He may give us a lot of little purpose, one big purpose, change our purpose. But God wants us to do something. And oftentimes thoughts of fear and thoughts of doubt creep into our minds and want to stop us from doing what God wants us to do. We think to ourselves, I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not prepared enough. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too tall. I'm too short. I'm too skinny. I'm too fat. I'm too guy. I'm too girl. You know, all these different thoughts of I'm inadequate. I can't do it. I will fail. I won't be able to accomplish the task. All these thoughts come into our minds. I think what's so beautiful is the way God answers them. Verse number 18, He says, thou shalt not be afraid of them. He says, don't fear. You know, I think God wants each one of us to do something for Him. I really believe that. Maybe there would be someone in here that God wants you to be a missionary. If so, I think He's calling you to India. We need more missionaries, but maybe not. Maybe God's calling you to do a ministry here in the church. Maybe it's to be more active in personal evangelism and soul winning. Maybe God's put a purpose in your heart to take a leap of faith or do something for Him. But no matter what it is, don't let fear stop you from accomplishing the task that God has for you. I had an encounter with fear once. I just moved down to Georgia for Bible college, and Easter morning was the first Sunday I was there. I got there super early, I think before the sun came up, which is impossible to do in New England. You cannot get anywhere before the sun comes up. 3 a.m., the sun is up. That may be a slight exaggeration, but I learned that pretty quickly, which makes it nice on a Sunday morning because a lot of times I leave about 5 a.m. and it's super dark in the south. But up here, it's like bright and wonderful. And I'm like, hey, I won't fall asleep on the way to church this morning. That's great. But, you know, before the sun came up, I was there at the church and I was ready. And when they came in, I was there helping out. I was so excited that I'd be able to serve God and be training to be a missionary. And I started watching people come in through the door as it got closer. And it didn't take too long before the most beautiful woman in the entire world walked through the door. And she looked absolutely stunning. And in case you're worried, I'm talking about my wife right now. I'm not talking about somebody else. But I started to get to know Mackenzie a little bit the next few weeks. And I found out she's from Cincinnati, just like me. She wanted to be a missionary, just like me. Her favorite restaurant in the entire world was Skyline Chili. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Do we have amen, bro. I knew I liked you. Do you like it?
I've never tried it. I've heard of it.
Okay, he's heard of it. Well, you're close enough to be holy. That's what we eat in heaven, so we'll all get used to it one day. She loves God. I was like, wow. She was really, really good in sports, which was fantastic because I was terrible. I love sports, but I'm not good at them. I play them, and I'm usually not the first pick. I'm taller. I'm like 6 foot, and I'm still not the first pick player, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, man, she's the perfect person for me. But there's a problem. I couldn't, speak to the women or girls. I couldn't do it. I couldn't talk. I had no ability to do that. In fact, I was so nervous. I had a girlfriend one time, and not saying that's the right way to do it or anything like that, but I did. And but I didn't ask her to be my girlfriend. My sister asked her for me because I could not do that. It was so bad, she actually broke up with her for me also. So nevertheless, Mackenzie was a great girl. Wonderful girl, loves Jesus, wants to be a missionary. Everything seemed to be like God wanted me to marry this girl. She was absolutely perfect for me, still is. No past tense there. She's perfect for me, right? But for me to be able to marry her, somehow I have to break that ice and kind of point a relationship from a casual friendship to marriage, start courting, and all that different things. But there was a problem. I couldn't do that. So finally, you know, it took several times, and I would, you know, get ready to, I would ask her, right? I was going to ask her, so I'd geek myself up, you know what I mean? Prepare myself, give myself all the pep talks in the mirror, everything that I could do to get it done. And I'd start heading that way to go ask her, and all of a sudden I'd get really nervous, get scared, I'd run away, and I'd never accomplish that task, right? Finally, my good friend Sean, he's coming down to Georgia to visit me. The Cincinnati Reds were in town, so I don't really think he's actually visiting me. I just happened to be there also. But Sean told me, because I've been talking to him, we're friends. He knows what's going on. And he said, "Jeffrey, if you don't ask her before I get there, I'm asking her for you." And I said, "I can't let this happen again, right? I got to be a man. I got to conquer my fear." So finally, Friday he's coming and we're in class. And the whole entire Friday class, I'm like, "Today's the day I'm asking her. It's happening today." And class goes by, and at the end of class, she goes outside to her car, and I'm thinking, God is setting this up for me. She's all by herself in her car. She's not surrounded by her friends. I don't have to worry about this in public, you know what I mean? So finally, I came up to her, and she was like getting some out of her car, so I was just like awkwardly standing outside waiting, and finally, she got up, so I saw me, like scared probably, and then I said, "Mackenzie, would you go to lunch with me?" And she said no. True story. She said no. It didn't go well. I'm 0-for-1 on that. So I decided I wasn't going to do it again, right? But thankfully, you know, she realized what she messed up on. And she came back to me, hands and knees, begging for another chance. She felt bad for me. But either way, we're married. God's blessed. But you see, like, for me, marrying Mackenzie, that's a good thing to do. I think God was for that. God's blessed our marriage. He's been really good to us, and we seem to be a great fit and serving God together. But for me to be able to marry her, I had to conquer my fear. You know, I think similarly, God's given us a purpose to do, and oftentimes we may come to the altar and make a prayer. Maybe we sit in our seat, and when the preaching's being happening, we're surrendering and saying, "God, I'm going to do it." And we have all the, you know, the pep talk we can give ourselves, and we set out on the journey to accomplish God's goal for our lives, and we start heading that way, but we start getting a little bit closer, and we start having these thoughts of doubts and thoughts of fear, and before we know it, we start shaking a little bit, and all of a sudden we run back, and we never accomplish the task that God wants us to do. The devil oftentimes uses fear to stop many warriors from Christ from ever stepping out and actually doing what he wants. See, hear this message tonight. Quickly, we'll 2 points. That's all we've got, so we'll be good on that, right? 2 things I think this text shows us of ways to overcome our fear. And if you see on verse number 18, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but," so instead of fear, "shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh, to all Egypt." Verse number 19 goes in and talk about the temptations. You know, the 10 plagues and the great wonders that God did and the stretched out arm. And that reminds me of, you know, when Moses, they're up against the Red Sea. They finally get out. God brought a great miracle in getting them out. And they're happy and they're praising God as they get out and they get to the Red Sea. And honestly, don't think they're all that worried when they get up to the Red Sea. I don't know this all that biblically, but I think they're probably enjoying their first ever lake vacation as a family. You know, they're slaves their whole life. They're up against the Red Sea. They're probably like, "Hey, let's relax." And all of a sudden, somebody looks back and sees a Pharaoh coming with a mighty army. And they get scared. They run up to Moses and they're yelling at him and blaming him for everything in the world. And he says, hold your peace. He steps up, stretches out his arm. And the Bible says the winds come and part the Red Sea. And they walk across on dry land. You see that stretched out arm? It wasn't Moses' arm. But it was God's arm that it represented. You see, what he's saying here to the children of Israel, he says, instead of fearing, remember what God's done in the past. The great miracles he's worked. He brought us out of Egypt. He brought us out and he had us cross over the Red Sea. And we've even fought battles in the wilderness and God's provided for us there. And instead of letting fear consume your thoughts, remember what God's done in the past. You know, for us tonight, instead of thinking about the fear, let's remember what God's done in our lives. The miracles he's worked in our lives. The situations he's brought us through. All the different things that he's done in our lives that brought us through the toughest situations. You know, God does answer prayers, doesn't he? There's just a miracle recently in our family. My sister, she was having her second kid. Her first kid, his name's Elliot, and he has a syndrome or whatever. As I think one out of every 400,000 babies or something like that get this, you know, super rare genetic disease. And it was hard to deal with at first, but God's really blessed, and he's over a year old. But they just got pregnant with their second kid, and they get the news back that he doesn't have a spinal cord and that he has this tumor on his head, and all this points that he probably won't make it through delivery, and if so, he would probably die in his first year. You know, obviously that was like a horrible thing, and our family all together, we're praying that God would provide a miracle, and they went for a second ultrasound. There was no cyst and spinal cord was there. And God performs miracles, doesn't he? Do you believe that God works? You see, instead of thinking about our fear, why don't we remember all the times that God's worked in our life? Amen. The situations he's brought us through. I have another friend. He just told me today, I was going to mention this, but I'm a little slow on testimony, so I never got to it. But I get to preach, so I can do it then too, so that works. Him and his wife can't have kids. They're in their 30s now, and they've tried everything they could, and they want kids so bad. Last year, they had someone who was having a kid but wanted to get the baby up at birth so they would be able to adopt it. And they got to bring the baby home with them, but I think the parent has like 7 days to recant, and the parent did, and they didn't get the kid. And it was heartbreaking. He just told me that the mother's going to give them the kid, and they'll have him tomorrow night. It was like so exciting. But God answers prayers. Let's remember that stuff instead of our fear. Let's remember, I'm sure we all have stories. I could probably ask every one of us to tell a story or two. And if you don't have any stories, start deputation. You'll get plenty. I'll tell you what, that is a true statement. But let's think about what God's done instead of our fear. And the second thing quickly in verse 22. Now, 21, the Bible says, once again, thou shalt not be affrighted at them. Don't be afraid. Then he says, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. The Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee little by little. You see what he tells them is don't be afraid. Remember how God's worked in the past. And secondly, he says, don't be afraid. Remember that God is among you. And they knew that, didn't they? When they were daytime, and I think, you know, yesterday my dad and I were playing tennis, and there was this giant cloud up there, and I was praising God for it, and I was sad when it went away, because it's hot in the sun. But when they looked up at night and daytime, there's this giant pillar of a cloud, and I'm like, they're in the wilderness, and God gave them a cloud. What a great, thing to give them to show his presence. But at nighttime, they look up, and that great pillar of cloud is now fire. They saw God's presence descend onto the tabernacle. They knew God was with them. They knew he was. But do you know that God's with us? He's a friend that sticketh closer to the brother. He will never leave us nor forsake us. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And you see what it says in verse 22, and the Lord thy God will put out those nations. You see what he says is God's with you, and he's the one that's going to give the victory. It's going to be God that gives the victory. You know what's awesome?
Well, this part isn't awesome.
I'm from Cincinnati. I'm a sports fan. If no one else is, I mean, I'm not like overly a sports fan. Like, if I'm driving a long way, yeah, I listened to a few innings of the Reds today. But, you know, I don't have much time for that anymore. But either way, I'm a sports fan. And you know what's sad? Does anyone like baseball in here? Do we have any? Are you a Red Sox fan?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You see, I grew up in Cincinnati, and you know what Cincinnati is short for? Losers. I mean, we never win anything. We don't. We don't win anything. The Reds had the best team in the 70s, especially 76, and the best team for the entire decade of the 70s. You know what I mean? One World Series, we won having the best team, better than anyone else. I mean, a Hall of Fame lineup. You know how many World Series we won? Two. If the Yankees had that team for 10 years, they'd have won 15. You know what? But I'm from Cincinnati. The Bengals never won a Super Bowl. The Bearcats never won a championship in football. Last time they did in basketball was 1962. Last time they did in baseball was 1990. I was not alive for any of it. I'm used to losing. But you know what's exciting? When I step out and I do something for God and God's with me, I don't worry about losing. Because when we go to India, we're going to step off the plane and, you know, don't know what might happen. But you know what's awesome? We can't fail. We can't lose because God's with us and He's the one that will perform the work. You see, what God's looking for is a faithful servant. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for a man whose heart is perfect toward Him, who He can show Himself strong on behalf of them." I think I misquoted that. But that's the basic, God's looking. I think God right now looks up and down each pew and says, "Who will let me show myself strong? Who will let me use them?" See, it's God that does the work. You know, instead of all the thoughts of fear and doubt that we like to think about, what if we just remembered what God's done in the past? Remember, God's with us, and He will do it in the future. See, tonight, we need to know that God didn't give us fear. The Bible says that. He gave us power, love, sound mind. Where does the fear come from? Who's the giver of fear? It's the devil. Whose gift have we been accepting in our life? We've been saying, "God, I want your power, I want your love, I want your sound mind." Or we've been saying, "Devil, I'll take your worry, anxiety, and fear. That's what I want." See, maybe today we need to commit to step out and do what God wants. Maybe there's not anything in particular that may God, but God, you may be having your walk with God captivated by a spirit of fear that's dwelling upon you. And today, tonight, maybe we could get rid of that fear. Remember what God's done. And remember, He's with us. He's the one that will perform the work. Lord, thank you so much for this evening. Lord, thank you for being with us. Lord, thank you for giving us a remedy of fear. I pray if there's anyone in here that's struggling with fear, that tonight they would get rid of, right with that. They'd get rid of that fear. They'd trust you fully. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, let's stand as we close in a word of prayer here tonight.
Okay.
Stand. My voice is gone too, and I didn't preach tonight. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come to your throne of grace tonight, we thank you for the challenge that you have set before us. Lord, we ought to be excited as a church to see young people committing their lives to ministry. But Lord, help us to realize that committing our lives to ministry does not have to be to a foreign land. Lord, committing our lives to ministry is right here. Lord, I don't really believe that you choose people to go to perform some ministry in a foreign land until they're first of all busy at home. Lord, our young people here tonight have friends that are unsaved. They have co-workers that are unsaved. And Lord, if they're not going to be busy about the things of the Lord here, then certainly they'll not be busy about the things of the Lord in any other aspect. Lord, tonight, it's the same for us as parents. Lord, we're never too old to serve. Lord, whatever fears, I know that Moses had a fear. He stuttered and he stammered in his language, and felt that somehow he could not adequately represent God before Pharaoh. Lord, whatever the fear that we're facing tonight, Lord, you're bigger than it. Lord, we think of the spies that came back from the promised land. Lord, 10 had an evil report. They saw their insignificance against the population of Canaan, the giants, the walled cities. But Lord, we're reminded that Caleb and Joshua, they had a different spirit. Lord, we need folks today who have a different spirit. Not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love that motivates us to share the gospel as you provide opportunity. But Lord, it may be tonight that you have spoken to someone who has had a certain particular fear of any number of things in their lives, but it's hindering their spiritual growth. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to them tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'd ask you tonight, what fear is keeping you back? I can't even begin to imagine, as different as the minds are here and those who have joined us tonight via the internet, our home viewers. I can't know what fear. I know what my fear was. I know for how many years I just felt inadequate, that I wasn't up to what it is that God wanted me to do. Until finally God got a hold of me and said, it's not about you anyway. It's about me. And I tell you tonight, it's not about you. It is about the Lord. The Jordan River didn't part until the priest stepped into it. And sometimes we have to take that first step. And then God will show himself strong at that point. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You say, preacher, pray for me tonight. There are some things that do give me a sense of fear, of intrepidation. And you say, pastor, pray for me tonight. I don't want that fear to win out. Yes, hands are here and hands are there. I don't want that fear. God wants us. He wants to use us. And he wants to use us in a mighty way. And all he wants from us, here am I, Lord, send me. Or here am I, Lord, use me. God wants you. Would you give him your life tonight? I don't know where it's going to lead. God has a plan. But for God to accomplish that plan, you have to set aside your fears and step up to the plate and say, Lord, I don't know what's before me, but Lord, you do. Isn't that wonderful? We serve a God who knows what he's calling us to, and he knows the things we're going to face. He knows what Brother Brown and his wife and the family are going to be facing when they step off that plane. He already knows. But you have to know that he loves you. He wants to use you. Father, we thank you for this time that we could be together tonight. We thank you for the hands that were lifted tonight. And Father, we pray that as you've seen and you've wanted for any time period for those who did to step up and say, Lord, I don't want a life of fear. I want a life of service out of love. Because love, perfect love, casteth out fear. And Lord, we know that you love us, and your love is a perfect love. And so we have nothing to fear. So Lord, may we be bold, the kind of soldiers that Paul called Timothy to be, and to teach and to instruct. That Lord, when all is said and done, and this life is over, and we breathe our last breath, we'll be ready to go home, because we have run a good race, we have fought a good fight, ready to hear the voice of the one who has loved us with an everlasting, unfeigned love. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, we pray that you will bless the ministry of Brother Brown and his family. Lord, especially on deputation. Lord, India is in dire need of missionaries, of men of God and families of God to step up and to go and to spread the good news. Lord, we think of his wife due in just a couple of weeks, and we pray that you continue to give her good health, the baby as well, a safe delivery, and to meet all the needs and all the expenses that are there as well. Lord, we think of Renee that's in the hospital with Dr. Sand. It doesn't look good, just a couple weeks or so at the most. And Lord, that you'll guide and direct in her heart, that you'll continue to make her heart right, knowing that she is going to meet the Lord and Savior of her life. Lord, to other family members, that you'll speak to them as well. But Lord, tonight we thank you for so great a love. Pray that you'll guide and direct us to go our separate ways tonight. We pray and ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.